Secretary, how many braceros do you expect in 66, and how many other foreign workers?
Present expectation would be that there would not be any use of them, except probably in connection, and this is, well, first, as far as braceros are concerned, present expectation would indicate no use of braceros in 1966, recognizing that that's a matter that has to be resolved as the situation develops. But I try to answer as squarely as I can because a lot of people have got to make plans. It looks now that as far as the two closest questions are concerned, and those would be the California tomato crop and the Michigan pickling cucumber crop, it looks now as though we would expect to move on the basis of those panels' expectations, which would mean no braceros, but we'll continue to look at that. Now, there are several other close questions. One of them is Florida citrus and the apple harvest in the east, and then Maine potatoes. No, Maine potatoes, I would guess, will follow pretty much the pattern this year that involved Canadian workers for several weeks in the fall. And the close questions would remain the Florida citrus and the apple harvest in the east. Those we'll have to watch especially closely. Those are not braceros. Those are British West Indies situation. Total numbers?
Yes.
There are about, I should include, should have specified my earlier answer, they are presently in Florida on the cane cutting operation, and that's what, 8,500 to 9,000? About 8,500. That's presently underway, and that will continue through about April to May. And that will be, from present expectations, the bulk of it. On those other borderline cases, well, then there's the prospect of 3,000 to 3,500 Canadians for a few weeks in Aroostook County, Maine, on the potatoes. Anything beyond that would be questionable, uncertain, and I wouldn't be sure that there would be anything beyond that. Frank?
Mr. Secretary, would you expect that the growing tightness in the labor supply might complicate matters at all next year?
Not complicate them to the point of a change in the expectation. The whole labor situation is obviously tighter than it was, but I point out that most of the tightening that comes from the increased production, particularly the buildup in the military, involves skilled operations, and what we're talking about here is an unskilled operation, and so I would not anticipate any significant tie-in.
Mr. Secretary, the page 26 reference says the anticipation is no use of braceros in California and Michigan. How about, you mean that
I mean to include all other states. There was no use of braceros in any state this year except California. And I would not expect to see it in any other state, but I'll appreciate your protecting, not me, but the situation on that. I'm faced with the necessity of, on the one hand, being as clear as I can on the basis of present expectations, but recognizing, not as a matter of form, as a matter of fact, that under the law, everybody would be entitled to have that situation reviewed as it develops, and we would expect to review it.
Yeah. Mr. Secretary, in your report, you listed approximately 8,300 farm workers recruited from the A-Team, the College Summer Recruitment Program, and Project Growth. Are you going to keep up those three programs in 66?
If I may broaden the question just a little, we will continue to develop in one way or another some federal summer employment, youth employment programs. I don't think they'll be in exactly the same pattern. I do think that they will be based primarily on an attempt to expand the state programs, some of which this year worked out quite well. We are talking about further attempts to tie this problem in with the manpower development and training program and the other federal programs. I would expect at this point to see further experimentation or further development along the pattern of the A-Team program, but probably with marked differences. And I don't know what those differences will be.
Possibly thought of using, say, Job Corps graduates.
That's one of the things we have in mind. We're faced with the development of quite an alumni group as far as the Neighborhood Youth Corps and the Job Corps are concerned. If we can some way tie that in, build a bridge between that program and the summer employment program, that's exactly the kind of thing we're talking about.
During the year,
are consultations already underway with OEO on this?
I don't know whether there are formal consultations. The best answer for your purpose of that is no, although the truth of the matter is that it's in the area of general discussions, but an affirmative answer would mislead you.
How serious is the wetback problem become?
There's been a good deal of talk about it, and the question is, how serious is the wetback problem? The wetback problem in itself is not serious. There's been a great confusion between the wetback problem and the Green Carter problem. There is a substantial movement, entirely legal, across the Mexican border, which involves the holders of the green cards who are entitled to all of the employment advantages the same as though they were citizens of the United States. That's too broad a statement, but that's an entirely legal operation. Now, there has been always a substantial movement across the border of the green carters. There is every day, always has been. I think there has been unquestionably some increase in that movement. Those are people who, still living, at least some of them go back every night, others of them go in and out. It's a very free flowing movement. There always has been a lot of that. I think there was unquestionably more of that this year, maybe in 1965, than there had been before. That has been lumped by those who don't understand or don't want to with the wetback problem, which involves an illegal entry. There has been some increase as far as pickups of illegal entrants are concerned. My own impression, based on conversations with the Department of Justice, is that that reflects no increase in the number of wetbacks. It reflects probably increasing economic pressures, which have prompted some people to try, but it also reflects simply a tight enforcement of that program. So in my short answer to your question is, as far as we can tell, there has been no increase in the wetback movement. There has been some increase in the flow of the green carters, but there's another refinement that's important there. And I'm sorry to dwell so long on this point, but there's been a lot of misunderstanding about it. We grant the green cards to Mexican workers. We in the Department of Labor, or it's through the determination here, there has been almost no increased granting of the green cards, so that the increased use or the increased flow of green carders has been on the part of those who already held those cards.
Is there any legal penalty against the users of wetback?
I'd have to check. I don't. Do you know, Bob? Is there a penalty against the user of a wetback? Penalty is just a return of the illegal entrant.
Might it not be a good idea to have a penalty against
it? Mm-hmm. Frankly, I have not been into that wetback point very far. I can't answer for the record very helpfully. Informally, my answer would be yes. If there is a sign at any point of an increase in the use of wetbacks, I would think it would be appropriate to consider that. I repeat that as nearly as we can tell so far, there has been, and I know it say this, realizing it's directly contrary to some statements which ought to have a good deal of responsibility about them, there has been no substantial increase in the use of wetbacks.
Secretary, under what law is the Green Card program?
It's the Immigration Act and the section, I don't know. Does anybody offhand? Bob? The green cards would be granted under what? Section 212? I will check the answer to it.
What's the rationale of allowing this special group of people to come in through service?
I'm out of my depth, Bob. 214A12 is the provision, and the question, which I'd be grateful for your response to, is what the original rationale of the green card practice is.
Well, this is...
It goes back before my time, but I think not before yours.
This is the granting of permanent visas, which
entitle the worker to come into the United States and to gain citizenship. It doesn't require them to gain citizenship. It's going only part way in that process. And it's been recognized for 30 or 40 years at least.
I've got a non-legal answer for you, which I have complete confidence in, that it is, and that is that it's a reflection of the same kind of thing that you have in Detroit, where there's a fairly constant movement back, in fact, a daily movement back and forth there, kind of thing you have in the Western Plains, where these harvest crews start down in the middle of the United States, just work their way right straight up. They cross the Canadian border every year without even anybody even knowing it. My answer would be that it, in general, developed as an accommodation to the fact that we've got very good working relationships right across these two borders, and it is a reflection of that. We don't grant them any longer unless there is an identification of need for them, and my impression is that they're now being granted at the rate of something less than 100 a year. Is that right?
That's all we have.
They're being handled by our Texas Regional Office or the Texas Employment Service. Which is it?
Well, it's our regional office.
The regional office in Texas and in California handle most of them, and the granting of them has now been whittled way down, but that's its background.
Are they pretty well limited to the border area?
They don't...
Green card be legal here in Washington?
Oh, it would be legal any place. As a technical matter, these people come in and there's no restraint at all upon the... Once the green card is granted, which has to be based on a determination that somebody does need this kind of help, once it's granted, they have a completely free flow. And, of course, the important thing is that from the standpoint of this problem here, they are free agents. They're not up here under contract at all. They're in a position to say yes or no on a particular business. Their use would be concentrated very close to the border, so you'd find a good many more of them in the Imperial Valley than you would up in the San Joaquin Valley in California. And there's a strong concentration right close.
There are a number of people who are not Mexicans or immigrants in this country who hold green cards.
That's right.
Your entire conversation has been related to agriculture, and there are a number of non-agricultural.
That's correct.
All
right. Yeah.
In your report, you mentioned the 6 cent an hour increase in the average farm wage. Do you think this is primarily due to the stopping of the Braceros program?
We've tried very hard be as careful. I think you'll agree that this report is an exercise almost in bias against bias against bias, and we have leaned over backward to try to put it on that basis. And you will note that even the one statement to which you refer is a comparison of October with October, and is limited very carefully, and there's only one honest answer, and that is that it is at this point still impossible to determine how much of that increase is properly attributable to this particular fact. You couldn't do it with farm wage economics information being what it is. Those figures are all the... we've tried pretty hard to isolate the factor, but when you mix up, as the figures do, farm labor rates for permanent and for seasonal employees, and when some of them include board and others don't, and some include room and others don't, anybody who pretends to have a firm answer on that point, I mean a precise answer, is kidding somebody else. And so I could answer from my own feeling, and that would be that probably the influence of this change has been the material factor in a fairly significant increase in farm wages this year. And my guess is that the one which we were able to identify most specifically, namely the 6 cents difference, is on the low side as far as the effect on wage rates in this particular industry is concerned. And as far as the seasonal workers are concerned, I think it's been a markedly larger increase than that. And especially if you take into account the changes in wage payment plans, illustrated by the adoption now of an incentive payment plan in the Florida citrus crops. My guess is that that 6 cents difference is a substantial understatement of the effect of the program. But it's hard to tie this one down.
Secretary, immigration officials in Southern California counties reported an increase of just a little under two times in the number of illegal entrants
illegal,
when apprehended.
Apprehended.
In 1965, over 1964. Don't you think that perhaps this is a indication of a substantial increase in the number of wetbacks?
No, I don't. And my my discrediting of that report is not casual, because I've made inquiry about it, and I'm quite persuaded that it reflects not an increase in the movement of wetbacks illegally, but an increase in the strictures, the enforcement strictures. We knew that if this was done, we were going to have to be more careful about the movement of illegal wetbacks. We didn't go into that with our eyes closed. We knew we had to be more careful about it. We are being more careful about it. There is, so far as I, and by we I mean the Department of Justice and the Immigration Service and all, so far as I know, there is no evidence. There is no, putting it differently, the fact of increased apprehensions does not, so far as we're able to determine, reflect an increased use of wetbacks.
Mr. Secretary, on page 2 and 3, you say that cutting back on the import of foreign workers is only part of the effort to improve the standards of the foreign workers, and I was wondering what further steps you plan to take this year to in this direction.
I'm meeting now once every month regularly with a committee of about 15 representatives of the growers from all over the country, and we're talking about that kind of thing. It becomes from here on out less a matter of authority than it does a matter of cooperation and leadership. The things that we are talking about most pointedly include these. First, it's clear to everybody that we can do a better job of working out the interstate movement of the migrant workers, to guide it as much as possible, to develop it to as full-time a basis as possible, to provide a national system of what we've called so far our annual worker plan, but which we're trying to develop still further. Now, just to give you a feeling of what I'm talking about in more specific terms, it was very interesting to find out at one of the first of these meetings that the apple growers in the Middle Atlantic and the New England states have not made the same arrangements with the Florida citrus growers which some of the other northern growers have. With respect, there's a quite well worked out, informal set of working relationships between the Florida citrus people and some of the people, the agricultural people in other parts of the country, for instance, Ohio tomatoes. They work those out, they get together and try to refer back and forth. That hadn't been done as far as the... That's right. The people who are going to need them next will come down to Florida just before that season is over and work out arrangements down there. Now, that hadn't been done as far as the apple group is concerned. So we're talking about the possibilities of that kind. Second illustration of specific things that we're talking about is a recognition that with a free employment situation here, wage payment practices and supervisory or personnel practices become a great deal more important than they were when there was a contract supply of labor. And your best illustration of that is the experimentation which has gone on this year as far as Florida citrus is concerned. At this point last year, there were about 3,500, is that right, British West Indies people in Florida. Today, there are none at all. And I am sure in my own mind at this point that one of the reasons that it's been possible for the Florida citrus people to make the very marked change they have here has been that they've experimented with an entirely different incentive payment system. And that experimentation developed as a result of the conversations that were held between the employment service people and the citrus growers. Similarly, with respect to the personnel and supervisory program or problems, we're working out now plans with them for training programs for supervisors for their full cooperation. Illustration number 3 of where we're looking would involve the housing situation. It's got to be quite a substantial change in the housing provisions as a consequence of this shift from foreign to domestic workers, because the domestic workers are usually families and the foreign workers were usually individuals. We're talking both with individual growers, the strawberry growers, for instance, in Salinas County, and with this group of growers as a whole about what can be done as far as the housing situation is concerned. There's active talk, some of it reflected in this report, about the pursuit of legislation which would facilitate the making of that change.
You mean federal or state?
I was talking here about federal. There is limited federal money here. There's not a great deal of it. The housing situation has got to be attended to in one way or another. I suppose that one of the important future questions, which I don't mean to leave point three too quickly, the whole housing prospect seems to me one of the most important. I've noted, as in as low a key as I can, the problem at the end of the report, which is one we have not been discussing with the growers or with anyone else, involving the matter of representation.